Good morning.
Morning.
Welcome to Piedmont Fellowship Church on this beautiful fall Sunday. This is we are still in the Pentecost season, the 16th Sunday after Pentecost. Thanks be to God for His grace, mercies every day that we can join here and also online to worship together. God has been good to us. He is still good, and God is good all the time. All the time He is good. So let us worship God together. The announcements are in the bulletin that I don't want to go over all of them. They're quickly. The food bank ministry continues, and the books are still available that you can buy for $10. It will also benefit our Piedmont missions. And our third Thursday luncheon is going to be on October 16th at 1 p.m. at the Golden Corral. Please join for a time of lunch and fellowship. And today, September 28th, last Sunday of the month, we usually celebrate the blessings of the month. So please share your blessings of the month, like anniversaries, birthdays, graduations, or any blessings that we want to thank God for. And then we'll also have lunch after service. All are invited to join the lunch along with the Hispanic folks on the other side. Next Sunday, October 5th, the first Sunday of the month, we celebrate Holy Communion, and the Hispanic congregation will join us for that. And also, Reverend Tim Owens will be preaching next Sunday. My wife and I are going back to Mayo Clinic for our follow-up visit on Wednesday. We'll be coming back on Friday or Saturday, depending on what we do there. So I called Tim and said, can you come and help us out? So he was very happy to come back and preach to us. Looking forward to that. Thank you for your continued and faithful support of the ministries of this church with your presence, gifts, service, and prayers and witness. God loves a cheerful giver. Please use the opportunities on our website for online donations. Many of you are using that already. Please check it out and use the ways that you can pay to the church in cash or in kind. Those are the announcements that I have. Anybody have any special announcements? Anything else? Anybody else?
No.
Yeah, I turned this on. I wanted to welcome she's my granddaughter, my cousin's granddaughter. From India, she's visiting us for a few weeks. She's a doctor doing rotations in the U.S. hospitals around the country for a few weeks. So she'll be with us for a few weeks, and hopefully we'll have a good time with her. Thanks for joining us here today.
Amen.
And she joined us on the choir, which is good. Many of you have to probably come here, help us out. Are there any other announcements? If there are no... Thanks for being here. Last week it was different.
Oh, three times in 10 weeks.
Oh my goodness. Okay. Thanks be to God for the recovery that year. There are no other announcements. We'll continue worshiping God together. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. If you are able, please stand for the opening hymn. Hymn number 545. Let me put it up there on the screen. Jace, can you scroll it? So it's on the screen. It's 545. We'll sing verses 1, 2, 4, and 5. Is one foundation, is Jesus Christ her Lord. She is His new creation by water and the Word. From heaven He came to sinner to be His holy bride with His own
life he died. Elect from every nation, yet one o'er all the earth. Her charter of salvation, one Lord, one faith, one birth, one holy name she blesses, partakes one holy food, and to one hope she presses with every earth in you. In open tribulation and tumult of a war, she makes the consummation of peace forevermore, till with the vision glorious her longing eyes are blessed, and the great church victorious shall be the church at last. Yet she honored union with God the three in one, and mystic sweet communion with those whose Christ is one. Oh, happy ones and holy, Lord, give us grace that we, like them the meek and lowly, on high may dwell with thee.
Please be seated. Let us pray. God of grace and God of mercy, eternal and loving God, we thank you for this opportunity that you have given us to gather in your name to worship you, in this church and also online. We marvel at your majesty, O God, and your power, and we are astonished by the mystery of your redeeming love. Even when we were sinners, you loved us, O God. You sent your Son, Jesus Christ, to this world, lived among us, suffered and died for us, and he rose from the dead so that we can have eternity with you. Thank you, God, for your protection and care every day, and all the gifts that we receive in spite of our unfaithfulness. You have been faithful to us, O God. Above all, thank you for the gift of the Holy Spirit, that you opened the way of eternal life to every race and nation and language by your promised gift of the Spirit, that we can come before you as your children in many different ways, but one in spirit, to worship and praise you for your marvelous works. You are the King of kings and Lord of lords, O God, eternal and ever living. May the services of word and praise we offer today and the lunch we partake today bring honor and glory to your name and blessing to your people. And in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit we pray. Amen. This is our greeting time now. If you are able, please stand up and greet each other in Christian love.
We shall be in the sweet time of God.
be praise to the King. Through eternity sing, 'tis a land where we never shall die. Never grow old, never grow old, in a land where we never grow old. Never grow. And the light of the sun, and our troubles and trials are over. All our sorrows will end, and our voices will blend with the love that's gone on before.
Thank you, what a beautiful song. We will celebrate our blessings today with calling out our blessings of the month, any birthdays, anniversaries, new homes, graduations, whatever. Please call out and we'll thank God for that with a prayer. This month is September. Today is our second son's birthday. So today is the birthday of our second son. So thanks be to God for that.
Marcus' grandson is Alex's the first.
Yeah. September 1st, okay. Anybody else?
Sherry.
Sherry? Oh, her birthday is this month.
Oh, that's perfect. Happy birthday.
Happy birthday. That's it. Anybody else? Anybody bought any new car, house, no, new jobs, nothing? Okay, let us know. We will thank God for that. Every day is a blessing. He got a car a year ago. Got it. Every day is a blessing from God. So we have to thank God for regardless of what we have or not. So God is good. And he has been blessing us with everything that we need in our lives. So thanks be to God. Let us have a small prayer at this time. If you turn with me to page 481 in the blue book. So we'll read that prayer. We'll pray that prayer together. We'll read that prayer. 481, the prayer of St. Francis. Lord, make me an instrument of thy peace. Where there is hatred, let me sow love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is darkness, light, and where there is sadness, joy. O Divine Master, grant that I may not so much seek to be consoled as to console, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love. For it is in giving that we receive, it is in pardoning that we are pardoned, and it is in dying that we are born to eternal life. Amen. Let us pray. Lord our God, you are the giver of light and life, and we thank you for the gift of life, love, family and friends and church and fellowship. Oh God, you are the one who is the source of all good things, and We understand that in Jesus Christ you have given us more than we could ever deserve. We pray for those who are celebrating their blessings this month, their anniversaries, birthdays, and all the other blessings that we have. We thank you for a new year in their lives. With the passing of time, you have increased and deepened their love towards you and others. We give you thanks for your past blessings and pray for your continued blessings upon them. Renew your blessings upon them, O God, and cover them with your love. Confirm them in their hope. Guide them with the thoughts of the heavenly thoughts than the earthly thoughts. May your Holy Spirit strengthen them in faith and fill them with the love and service for you and for others. Through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Our responsive reading is taken from Psalm 137, verses 1 to 9. It's also on the screen. I will put it up. Jace can scroll that. And those who want to follow the book, it is on page 852. If you are able, please stand.
By the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down and wept when we remembered Zion.
On the willows there we hung up our lyres.
For there our captors required of us songs, and our tormentors mocked, saying, "Sing us one of the songs of Zion."
How shall we sing the Lord's song in a foreign land?
If I forget you, O Jerusalem, let my right hand wither.
Let my tongue cleave to the roof of my mouth if I do not remember you.
O Lord, remember against the Edomites the day of Jerusalem.
How they said, raise it, down to its foundations.
O daughter of Babylon, you devastator, happy shall they be who repay you with what you have done to us.
Happy shall they be who take you little ones and dash them against the rocks. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Please be seated. We come to our prayer time where we share our prayers of blessings and thank God for all the blessings we receive in our lives. And also we pray for our needs, bring our concerns and burdens together as a church family united in faith, trusting in God's promise that when we unite in faith and bring our prayers to God, He will answer our prayers according to His time and will. So let us share our prayers of blessings and also our concerns and burdens at this time. And also, God has given us the privilege as children of God to intercede for others, not only for our needs, but also we have the privilege to pray for other people's needs. So please bring up all those needs that we want to bring up for others also at this time. Our regular prayer requests are at the back of the bulletin. Please follow that on your regular prayers. Please remember these people and these items in your prayers. Continue to pray for these people. Jean McBrayer, Grace Ames, Harry Basil, Carol, Wayne, Jerry Raines, Sean and Amy Conway, Eden Bartolo, Harry Crumlin. And I shared a family last week about being in cancer, and she passed away this past week. Elsie in North Carolina. We are planning to go for the funeral tomorrow if everything works out. Please pray for that family. They are grieving at the death of their dear mother, for peace and comfort during this time. Pray for our service workers, our military, fire, police, and many others who serve us behind the scenes on a daily basis, giving us all the things and services that we need. Let us be thankful and also pray for them and for their families. Pray for our nation, our president, leaders of the Congress, governors and many others who make decisions. Let us pray that God will give them the wisdom to do the right things and have a united country here. And also pray for the world leaders that they will also fear God and make decisions that will bring peace to the world, especially the war-torn areas in Middle East, in Ukraine and many other parts of the world. Let us pray that God will bring a lasting peace to those areas. Let us pray for our church and pray that God will give us the guidance every day to do the work He has given us to do faithfully in this community, to share the love of Christ to others. So, and also pray for all the churches around us, the pastors, the missionaries, and the world church at large, and all those people who are working God's vineyard, spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ in various parts of the world, missionaries and many, many others. Let's remember them in our prayers and pray for them. Those are the regular items that I have. Anybody have any special prayer request to call? And Gene Barrington just told me he is looking to get a hip replacement. Every one of us is getting a new part every day. Somebody told me that he can't have any parts anymore because he's already run out of options. So we are getting older there. So let us remember Gene in our prayers and all those who are going through various procedures like that. And I'll be going to Mayo Clinic next week. If God will be with us in our travel also, please remember us in our prayers. If there are no other special call-outs, let us go to God in prayer, spend a few moments in silent prayer, and I'll close with a closing prayer. Let us pray. Merciful and gracious God, we come before you as your children, trusting in your promises that you will answer our prayers according to your time and your will. We lift up all those that you have given us in our lives as blessings, Lord. And we trust in you that your scripture promises not to be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition give thanks to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. We thank you for the manifold blessings you shower upon us, O God, every day, giving us all the things that we need in our lives, helping us every day with our needs, materially, physically, and spiritually. We thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, through whom you have given us eternity to share with you, through whom you have given us more than we could ever deserve. We have been unfaithful to you, O God, in many places. But your faithfulness has been new every morning, and we thank you for that. We come before you with our brokenness also. Many of us are broken in our bodies, in our souls, and in our spirits. But you are the source of all true healing. You are the great physician, O God. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. Lord, when we are lonely, you are our friend. When we go through life's sorrows and loss, you give us comfort and peace, O God. We remember all those dear ones that we have named here, especially the ones who are looking for healing in their bodies. Thank you for being with them during this time of their sickness. We thank you for the recovery that you have given to many of them. Pray for Jean McBrayer and Grace, Harry, Carol, Wayne, Jerry, Sean and Amy Conway, Harry Crumlin, Ed and Bertolo, and many, many others. Bless them with your healing, O God. Above all, we pray for peace in their family, for them and their families. We pray for those who are grieving at the death of their dear ones, especially Elsie's family in North Carolina. Pray for your special healing hand to touch them, Lord. Comfort them during this time of grief. The children, husband, and the family members that are grieving and going through this painful time. Bless them with your peace. Comfort them with your presence, O God. We thank you for all of our service workers, our military, police, and fire, and many, many others, construction workers, delivery people, trash workers, that we take for granted every day for their services. We thank you for them, Lord. Thank you for their families. We pray for them and their families to keep them safe and give them the grace that they need every day and bless them, O God. We pray for our nation, our president, leaders of the Congress and governors and many others who make decisions. We pray that you will give them the wisdom from the above, that they will follow and obey you and bring this country to prosperity and unity. Bless them with your grace every day and guide them with the Holy Spirit. We pray for world leaders also that they will fear God and they make decisions that will bring peace to this world. We pray that you will bring peace to those areas that are affected by war, especially in Middle East and Ukraine and many other parts of the world. We pray for your grace, special grace upon those people who are affected by those things. Bless the leaders that they will bring a lasting peace to those areas. We pray for our church, O God, and we thank you for the blessing of this church and our community. And bless us to do your work faithfully to those who need us around us, O God. And spread your love as your arm and feet in this community. We pray for all the churches around us, Lord, the pastors, the workers, and the leaders of the churches. We pray for your grace upon them. We pray for the world churches large also, God, around the world, doing your work in many parts of the world, especially in difficult situations. Bless them with your grace, comfort them with your presence, and also strengthen them with the power of the Holy Spirit, that they will be faithful in their work they're doing, and also will be have fruits of your kingdom as they work through those areas in those places. We thank you again for your presence in our midst, O God. Help us to worship you in truth and in spirit. In our meditation of the word, talk to us, talk so that we can be empowered by the power of your word. And also bless the lunch that we partake together after service, that we will be blessed by the fellowship time. Bless us today, Lord, and thank you for your presence in our midst. We pray this prayer in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Now the ushers may come and take up the offertory, please. Scripture says everybody should give according to what God has decided in their hearts, for God loves a cheerful giver. Loving God, you are the source of all that we have, and you are. And you are merciful and gracious that you open your hands and give us everything that we need, the gift of life, health, joy, and fellowship. Oh God, help us to understand that in Jesus Christ you have given us more than we could ever deserve. Help us, Lord, to always be grateful for everything that you give us, and we thank you for those who are able to give joyfully, and pray for those who could not give today. Remember all of them in your love, O God. Bless and help us to use this offertory to share your love to this community and around the world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Now the scripture reading is taken from the book of Jude. It's only one chapter in that book, and we are going to read the whole book. So if you want to remain standing, it's up to you. Or you can be seated
down,
as well.
Feel free.
And pray for Lisa. Reading through. This is a long reading. Please see it. Be seated.
And Jace,
you
can scroll through. I'm going to read off of this, but you can scroll for everyone else. Jude, a servant of Jesus Christ and a brother of James, to those who have been called, who are loved in God the Father and kept for Jesus Christ, mercy and peace and love be yours in abundance. Dear friends, although I was very eager to write to you about salvation we share, I felt compelled to write and urge you to contend for the faith that was once for all entrusted in God's holy people. For certain individuals whose condemnation was written about long ago have secretly slipped in among you. They are ungodly people who pervert the grace of God into a license for immorality and deny Jesus Christ, our only sovereign and Lord. Though you already know this, I want to remind you that the Lord at one time delivered his people out of Egypt, but later destroyed those who did not believe. And the angels who did not keep their positions of authority, but abandoned their proper dwelling, these he has kept in darkness, bound with everlasting chains for judgment on the great day. In a similar way, Sodom and Gomorrah and the surrounding towns gave themselves up to sexual immorality and perversion. They serve as an example to those who suffer the punishment of eternal fire. In the very same way, on the strength of their dreams, these ungodly people pollute their own bodies, reject authority, and heap abuse on celestial beings. But even the archangel Michael, when he was disputing with the devil about the body of Moses, did not himself dare to condemn himself for slander, but said, "The Lord rebuke you." Yet these people slander whatever they do not understand, and the very things they do not understand by instinct, as irrational animals do, will destroy them. Woe to them! They have taken the way of Cain. They have rushed for profit into Balaam's error. They have been destroyed in Korah's rebellion. These people are blemishes at your love feasts, eating with you without the slightest qualm, shepherds who feed only themselves. They are clouds without rain, blown along by the wind, autumn trees without fruit and uprooted, twice dead. They are wild waves of the sea, foaming up their shame, wandering stars, for whom blackest darkness has been reserved forever. Enoch, the seventh from Adam, prophesied about them. See, the Lord is coming with thousands upon thousands of his holy ones to judge everyone and to convict all of them of all the ungodly acts they have committed in their ungodliness and of all the defiant words ungodly sinners have spoken against him. These people are grumblers and fault finders. They follow their own evil desires. They boast about themselves and flatter others for their own advantage. But dear friends, remember what the apostle of our Lord Jesus Christ foretold. They said to you, in the last times there will be scoffers who will follow their own ungodly desires. These are the people who divide you, who follow mere unnatural instincts and do not have the Spirit. But you, dear friends, by building yourselves up in the most holy faith and praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in God's love as you wait for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to bring you to eternal life. But be merciful to those who doubt. Save others by snatching them from the fire. To others show mercy mixed with fear, hating even the clothing stained by corrupted flesh. To him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy. To the only God our Savior be glory, majesty, power, and authority through Jesus Christ our Lord, before all ages, now and forevermore. Amen. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. Please be seated. That was a long reading for Lisa. She was getting out of her cold. And thank you for doing that. Thank you for doing that. Let us pray. Loving God, we thank you for the gift of your living word, who came to this world, lived among us as the living word in flesh, so that we can experience the power of your word as spirit in our lives. Thank you again for blessing us with your word as we continue to study the doctrines of our Christian faith. Help us to be faithful in obeying your word every day, to be the word to be our priority so that we can meditate on it and be empowered every day, Lord. We thank you for the gift of apostles who have written these letters so that we can be blessed even now, thousands of years later. Open our hearts, O God, so that we can receive the word in obedience and humility, and illumine our souls so that we can understand the meaning of the message that we hear today. Speak through me to me, and also through me to the congregation. Touch each and every one of us, Lord, with your power of the word. The words of my mouth and the meditations of the word, mouth and meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Rock and our Redeemer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So we went through several books in the Bible, in the New Testament. We started with the prison letters of Paul, and we finished that, and then we also included the letter to Philemon, Paul was in prison at that time, and he wrote that. We continued all of that so that we can understand each book is written to encourage and empower the believers who were persecuted at that time for their faith. It is still applicable to us. And when we came to the letters of Peter, we talked about several things about the scoffers and the people who are teaching wrong doctrines at that time. And Peter mentioned some things about them and asked the congregations and the people not to follow them. But Jude is a little more sharper in his criticism of the scoffers, these bad teachers. And he's very sharp, and he's calling them clouds with no water. And we'll come to that. And he's calling some names during that letter that he wrote to the people at that time. There is so much similarity between the second Peter's second letter, especially chapter 2, and also the letter of Jude. Some scholars are saying that they talk to each other, or one read the other's letter. So there are some similarities in these two, mainly telling the people of faith at that time to be very careful and cautious about these teachers, the false teachers who are teaching the wrong doctrine. And we talked about Peter's letter last week, that people were saying that, hey, Jesus has come, and he said he is going to come again, but it has been hundreds of years and we have not seen him. But here we are in 2,000 years again that we have not seen him again. So people are getting kind of anxious and doubtful, and some of the people twisted the scriptures and saying that these are all, don't take all of them literally. These are all just, you know, theologically. So second coming is only theological and not really going to happen. So things like that. So we're twisting the scripture a little bit. And just like Peter, Jude was also upset about the things that were happening. Here he is saying that when he writes the letter, he's saying that he was a servant of Jesus Christ and a brother of James. That's how he introduces himself to the congregations. And he's saying that I'm writing to those who have been called, who are loved in God the Father and kept in Jesus Christ. May peace and love be yours in abundance. So he's calling himself a servant of Jesus Christ and the brother of James. So which James is this? That's what we wanted to look at. He's talked. There are several James in the Bible, and only in English language. Most of the other languages, especially in Greek and Hebrew languages, there's no James. It's all Jacob. So somewhere along the line, the English language converted some Jacobs into James. And it has something to do with the Latin conversions or something. So in all the other, in our native Malayalam language and Greek and Syriac and all those languages, there's no James there. So he's calling himself Jude, a servant of Christ and a brother of James. So many scholars did study on this James. And there was a James or Jacob that was part of the 12 apostles. And that is James and John, two brothers, were part of, remember, they went to the mountain, the transfiguration experience that they went to mountain with Jesus at that time. So James and John. And James and John were brothers, but this is not the same James. And because he's saying that Jude, the servant Jesus Christ, and a brother of James, to those who have been called. Historians say that Jude and James became later leaders of the church at that time. So these two were brothers also, Jude and James, not the other two apostles, the disciples of Jesus Christ. But later on, some historians have tracked this Jude and James to the family of Jesus. Jesus has had a stepbrother called James, or Jacob in Hebrews. So technically, Jude and James are stepbrothers of Jesus Christ himself, even though they were not part of the disciples. One of the interesting things that I learned was none of the family members of Jesus Christ ever believed him when he was alive. None of them. Except maybe Mary and Joseph, kind of. But after his death and resurrection, all his family members became part of the gospel, to preach the gospel. So James and Jude started preaching after his resurrection, even though they did not believe him when he was alive. So Jude and James were stepbrothers of Jesus Christ. In other words, they were sons of Mary from another father, maybe. Because Jesus Christ is born of Holy Spirit. That's what we believe, right? Not born of humans, but Jesus was born of the Holy Spirit. So Jude and James probably were children of Joseph and Mary later on. But they were brothers or stepbrothers of Jesus Christ. But when he addresses himself, he doesn't say, I am a stepbrother of Jesus. He says, I am a servant of Jesus Christ. And see how he introduces himself. Even though he can claim that he's a brother of Jesus Christ, he says that I am a servant of Jesus Christ, but I am a brother of James. In other words, we are all brothers, but when we come to the kingdom of God, we are servants for Jesus Christ to spread his love to this world. We are all brothers, but at the same time we have a mission to do, to be service to others. When he says that he is a servant of Jesus Christ, he's not saying that he is a slave or he is doing what God is telling him. Yes, he is doing what God is telling him to do, but he is serving God by serving the world. In other words, serving God means we ought to serve the people around in this world. Service is, with love, is the most important thing of Christianity. So when we study the book of Jude, we understand who the history of the authors of this book is. But the purpose of writing this book is, he said when he writes it, it's interesting what we read, that, dear friends, although I was very eager to write to you about the salvation, I felt compelled to write to you to contend for the faith. When Jude was about to write this letter, he was actually trying to write a letter to the church at that time about Jesus Christ and the salvation and how to become saved. That's what he was planning to write. But when he heard about the news from Peter and read the letter of Peter maybe and heard the news from the churches about these false teachers, he changed the subject of this letter and started writing about those false teachers and the false doctrines that they were faced with. So he is telling them not to listen to these people, just like Peter is telling them, and tell them that it is important to stand and contend for the faith. Contend for the faith. It is still applicable to us even today. We ought to contend or defend our faith in a very confusing world with so many things happening around us and so many false teachers and preachers preaching the wrong doctrines. Jude calls believers to stand firm, remain faithful, and trust God's power in the face of deception and spiritual compromise. I don't know if you saw that last week, the Grace Lutheran, there's a two or three different Lutheran church groups in America, and one of them is called Great Lutheran Church, but it's very liberal. just like happened to our church, United Methodist Church. And they came up with a proclamation that they proclaimed in the news, in the world news, the whole world, they proclaimed that there's a list of Bible verses that you should not be preaching in church anymore, because those verses are about male-dominated words written for an old generation and are not applicable today. That's what they proclaim. So if we take out some of the verses that we don't think is applicable today, then there are so many things that we can take out from the Bible then. If you don't believe the Bible as such as the scripture and the word of God, breathed by God, that's what the Bible teaches us, and you pick and choose what you want, that is false doctrine. That's false doctrine that we have to be careful about. So my mom used to say that, you know, when you go read the book of Genesis, and God created everything by in with his word, and he created man by his hands, and some people teach, oh, these are all figurative. It's not like happened like that, and they try to bring evolution to that, all of that. So it is not really that how that happened. And then what does it become? It's not become God's word. So you take the book of Genesis out, and take it out, and then you have only the rest of the books. Then you come to Exodus, you say that, oh, God led the people to the desert, and he did miracles and gave manna from the sky. Those were all not real miracles, but they were all figurative. So you take the book out of Exodus, out of the Bible. So you go book by book, you can find reasons to take them out of the Bible. And when you come to Revelation, what are you left with? Just a book of cover, right? Nothing else in it. That's what the problem with this false teaching is. Accommodate what you want and take out what you don't like. That is not what the scripture is all about. God gave us this scripture to believe as God's word, breathed by God, and not to accommodate based on your circumstances. That is not what scripture is about. So we have to defend our faith, just like Jude is saying. Even today, it is very relevant. Actively defending and standing firm in the truths of the Christian gospel is very important, because our faith is a precious faith. That's what he's saying. A precious faith God has given us by paying a big price for it. Even though gift of salvation is free, God has paid a big price for it. The price of his own son, Jesus Christ. His life was sacrificed on the cross of Calvary. And we need to defend our faith during this time. But you know what's happening, and I don't have to tell you about people getting killed for the faith even today. I mean, I don't want to bring up Charlie Kirk, but many, many others too. When you stand up and preach and open your faith in front of people, there are chances that you can be shot and killed. Even today, that is the reality. In America. And because Charlie was a well-known person, it came on the news. But there are people who are getting persecuted and killed and tortured in many parts of the world even today for standing for the truth. We need to defend because it's a precious faith. Jude urges us to contend earnestly for the faith once delivered to us through the saints. This faith is not new. It is a once and for all truth of the gospel that came through Jesus Christ, the living God, who is still alive in our lives in this world. And some people say that is too old. We don't want some of the stuff that is too old. The gospel is 2,000 years old. It's a reality. It is 2,000 years old. Billy Graham was planning to preach to a city in a city in the West. It's a very liberal city. And they didn't want him to be there. So he planned to be there. So the mayor and the city council drafted a resolution and sent it to the Billy Graham mission, saying that, well, we don't want him to be here because he's too old-fashioned. And he is going to preach the old gospel and is going to set our city back about 50 years. So they sent him a letter, and they gave Billy Graham this letter and said, what do you think about this? He said, well, I don't have anything else to preach. It's the same old gospel, right? So he sent a letter back and said, I apologize for misrepresenting my intentions. I don't want to send it back 50 years, but 2,000 years. How about that? That's what he said to him. That's what the gospel is. It's the same old gospel. I mean, you hear from me every Sunday, right? The same old gospel in different ways. There is nothing changing. God's word will never change. Even when the skies and the earth will pass away, God's word will never pass away. So the need to defend our faith arises because there have been infiltration of modern liberal doctrines in the church. And one of the reasons you know that we disaffiliated from the United Methodist Church, that we stand for the doctrine of marriage, that a marriage is between man and woman, period. That's what the scripture says. You can twist it around a little bit, say marriage is between two people. Well, it's only a slight difference, right? It's still true. But why are you afraid to speak the truth? That's the point. That's what point is Jude is telling us. We are created in God's image, and we are created, Bible says that we are created male and female. And there's nothing else said in the Bible about anything else. A, B, C, D, Q, R, T, I don't know what they are. But anyway, when we come to the defending our faith, it is a great responsibility. In the theological terms, it is called apostasy. See, the fight of our faith comes from outside and inside. So we know people on the outside of the church probably will challenge our faith. But how about the challenges coming from inside the faith, inside the church? Many of our universities that we have started as Christian seminaries, for example, our Emory, the Candler School of Theology, was started as a seminary. Emory University was started as a seminary, and it became a liberal university later on, secular university. Same thing with Duke. Same thing with Vanderbilt. How about Harvard? Yale? These were all started by missionaries to teach the Bible, the seminaries, and then eventually they added on to the other subjects. But can you preach the Bible in these universities anymore as it is written? No. You go to the Candler School of Theology. I'm not criticizing any seminaries, but you are not allowed to preach certain things there, to talk about these things. But that's what the challenge is here today, because the fight from within is stronger than the fight from outside. So we have to be very careful about what we hear and what we learn from people, the preachers. The liberal universities and seminaries are graduating preachers every day, and they are getting appointed as preachers in these churches. That is the biggest challenge that we are facing today. So Paul is saying that, and also Jude are saying, the fight, the good fight of faith. We not only fight our life, daily life, trials and temptations every day, but also we have to fight for our faith, defend our faith. And they come with in many different fashions. They will say, yeah, God loves everybody. God wants you to feed the hungry. God wants you to be wealthy. And those are all good things. They're all in the Gospels. But that's not the only Gospel. You're not just teaching about the physical aspects of the Gospel, but also there's a spiritual aspect. We are living human beings with a spirit inside of us that God has given us. So the infiltration of this false doctrines and wrong teachings within the church, the theological term of that is called apostasy. Apostasy has plagued the church not only in individual churches but also in the massive church at large. Extreme liberalism is an apostate from Christianity. And so many other things, the isms and schisms, any denial of the scripture as the true word of God is apostasy. Scripture is the full true word of God. That's what we believe as Christians. We cannot remove parts of it and accommodate our need at the time. Truth matters. God exposes God's word not only to bless Christians but also to bless the whole world. And Jude eventually talks about a lot of people in the Bible about that. And I don't want to go through all of them. And he talks about, in verse 7, Sodom and Gomorrah and the surrounding towns gave themselves to sexual immorality and perversion. He's talking about it because they didn't want to listen to God's word. They want to accommodate their immediate desires of their body, and they became cursed for God's curse, and God destroyed the city of Sodom and Gomorrah because of their immorality. And they serve as an example who suffer the punishment of eternal fire. And then he comes up down and he's saying that woe to them, they have taken the way of Cain and Abel. So these are all stories from the Bible Jude is telling, because he's talking to a people who converted from the Jewish background. So they know what he's talking about. Cain and Abel. Cain was the older brother whose sacrifice was not pleasing to God. And his brother Abel, his sacrifice was pleasing to God, and God blessed Abel. So what did Cain do? He became jealous of his brother and killed Abel. That was the first murder listed in the history of human being. So he's quoting Cain there, and then there is Balaam, and there's Korah. These are all people who accommodated the scripture and disobeyed God based on their needs. And Balaam was not a Jewish person, and he was a soothsayer at that time from a Gentile. But he, actually, what he did was, he tried to help the enemies of the Jewish people. But God told him not to do it, even though he was not Jewish. So he was afraid to disobey God. So you know what he did? Instead of cursing the people of and supporting the enemy, he infiltrated into the Jewish community and encouraged them to get married to the other people and bring their faith indirectly. That's what he did. So that's what Balaam's error. He was supporting the enemy, not directly, but by infiltrating into the faith of the Jewish people, by having their children getting married to other people and bringing the other faith into their own. And they're exploiting the children's relationships. And then he's talking about Korah's rebellion. Korah rebelled against Moses and Aaron. And you can go read all of that stuff. I don't want to go all of those things. And Jude is actually telling them all of these things. And he's calling them some really bad names. They are clouds without rain, blown along by the wind, autumn trees without fruit, uprooted and twice dead. They are wild waves of the sea, foaming at their shame, wandering stars for whom blackest darkness has been reserved forever. He's really very sharp. He's very sharp. And I looked at each of them, like wild waves of the sea. What is wild waves of the sea? It's always busy doing nothing. That's what the waves do in the sea. Always it's moving. Do they do anything? It doesn't do anything. Only giving you problems. Then the wind, it becomes very high. And then forming of their shame. And wandering stars. It's wandering stars. All the stars are supposed to be in their path, right? Some of them just wander off. And what do you call them? Meteorites or something. They come and hit other planets and destroy them. That's what they are. And then, are you okay?
Yeah, I'm okay.
All right. You want to be stopped now or no?
No. Go ahead.
All right. And then Enoch, the seventh from Adam, prophesied among them, see, the Lord is coming with thousands and thousands of holy ones, judge everyone and convict all of them. So he's talking about Enoch. And then he's talking about Noah and many, many others who did not obey the word of God and tried to twist the scripture. And he's also calling them, just like Peter, they are scoffers. Scoffers are people who mock at you and twist the things and teach false things among you. These are the people who divide you, who follow mere natural instincts and do not have the Spirit. And then he's telling them, how do you identify these people? You can easily identify them because they are mostly self-centered. money-minded, basically. That's what it is. And we see that around this world all the time. The people who are preaching wealth and prosperity gospel. So if you come to church, you'll get $1 million. Oh yeah, you'll go. That's what a lot of churches are preaching about prosperity gospels. They're against the scripture. God did not promise prosperity just because you follow him. You follow him because he's God. Not because you're going to get prosperity. But when you preach prosperity and not the other side of it, it is false doctrine. And he's very sharp in criticizing them. And then finally he's concluding that to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you before his glorious presence without fault and great joy, the only God our Savior be glory, majesty, power and authority through Jesus Christ our Lord through all ages. So what is he saying? That even though we have to defend our faith, it is not about arguing and fighting with them, but loving them and lovingly sharing the gospel with them and telling them that this world, that it is about God and it's not about you. The faith is not about me. The faith is about Almighty God. We come to church not for God, not for me, but it's for God to praise him. Right? God is God and we are not. And we need to understand that when we come to our doctrines. So we have to stand firm faith for the doctrines, and we'll continue with the study in another book of James, because this Jude is the brother of James who wrote the book of James. So we'll continue the book of James. And if you ever get tired of this preaching, these doctrines, you can tell me and I'll stop and we'll go to some other times. Because I was preaching the Old Testament book of Daniel for 5 weeks in a church, and finally somebody said, you don't have anything other than Daniel to preach. So I had to change. So if you get tired of it, let me know. And we'll change the subject. But I think it is important.
They won't learn.
Right? It is important, right? Don't you
Amen.
Think? That we have to defend our faith. Especially the things that are happening around us. Right? You know, people think that kicking a bullet at somebody and killing somebody will kill the gospel. It's not going to happen. It happened, you know, all our apostles have been martyrs. They were killed for the sake of the gospel. It did not destroy the gospel. It only flourished the gospel. It only strengthened the gospel. That is what's going to happen. So as people of God, stand firm in our faith. Be strong in our faith. And be strong in explaining to others and not be wavering. Because these are false teachers all around us. So may the good Lord bless us as we go from this place to stand strong for our doctrines. The faith, the precious faith that God has given to us. Hold on to it until we die and end our life in this world. Amen. The closing hymn is hymn number 127, and I will put that on the screen. And we'll sing all three verses of Guide Me, O Thou Great Jehovah, 127. If you are able, please stand.
Be thou
People of God, God has called us to a precious faith, with strong conviction, so that we can preach the gospel with confidence and power, and resist the falsehood and live faithfully, knowing that Christ will keep us until the day we see him face to face. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, love of the Heavenly Father, and the everlasting comfort and fellowship of the Holy Spirit go with you now and forevermore. Amen.